Nation, it is the offseason officially, and the Steelers, they have completed their coaching staff. So phase one of the interesting part of the offseason is over. We have our new coaching staff. It's Mike Tomlin. No, it's not.
No, it's not. It's the other Mike Tomlin.
What's
copycat.
The difference?
No, it's Mike McCarthy.
Yes, it is Mike McCarthy and a bunch of his old friends from the Green Bay and Dallas days. A lot of his buddies, as a matter of fact, which isn't an unusual part of the coaching hiring for any coach really in the NFL. Was it a little excessive? In my opinion, yeah. There's a lot.
A little over the top.
But I think it is an updated and upgraded coaching staff, and I'm very interested to see how that is all going to turn out, especially for the defensive side of the football now that there is going to be a new coordinator and there's a lot of pieces on that defense that need to be hopefully improved. A lot of players that need more playing time, that need to be elevated, and guys with a ton of contracts that may or may not remain this upcoming season that need to earn their paydays, that's for sure. Now we get into the offseason portion where we get into re-signing players, cutting players, trading players, signing free agents, and of course, the most exciting part, the NFL draft, which is going to be held in Pittsburgh right in the Heinz Field parking lot, as a matter of fact. So now we get into the discussion of Omar Khan. Omar Khan is one of many figures in the front office that has definitely felt some criticism the last couple of years. Now, his draft classes have actually been pretty solid, as a matter of fact, at least compared to Kevin Colbert and his last few draft classes.
Oh, my God. Set the team back for how many years? Let's be honest.
But Omar Khan, his draft classes the last 3 years, from 2023 to 2025, now in 2026 upcoming, they have given us a lot of potential, a lot of great value, a lot of future core pieces at certain positions. In fact, I would anticipate a lot of those draft picks to be getting the majority of the cap space that the Steelers are going to have to spend. A lot of those guys will be getting extended. That is the one thing we can definitely anticipate in the offseason, is that a lot of the players from our past few draft classes, first up the 2023 draft class, will be getting a lot of those extensions. Well-deserved. You look at JPJ. My guy needs an extension.
Yeah, dude, zero touchdowns last year. For some reason, didn't even get the recognition of Pro Bowl. No. Now, I know the Pro Bowl is kind of a joke nowadays, but even then, just to get the recognition, you know, that it's something. But the fact that the NFL gave, what was it, 41-year-old Joe Flacco a Pro Bowl invite and recognition is just kind of laughable nowadays.
Same thing with Shedeur Sanders.
Yes, exactly. But to go to show the Pro Bowl nowadays. But yes, JPJ deserves one. Ben had a breakout year last year. You look at Darnell Washington, right? Probably our most effective tight end. That's just from the 2023 draft class alone.
And of course, the first round pick, the 14th overall pick, was Broderick Jones. His fifth-year option is going to be a decision Omar Khan is going to have to make. Will he keep him? Will they gamble after one really good year or one solid year from Broderick Jones, now officially back at his left tackle position? We'll see what his decision is on that. But overall, as an offseason, how is he going to mold this football team? What is he going to do with the cap space? What is he going to do with projectedly 12 picks in the 2026 NFL draft? What's he going to do with all of that? And we don't know what they're going to do at the quarterback position, and that might be one of the decisions that Omar Khan will have to make, is who is going to be under center for the Steelers in 2026? Are they going to try to bring Aaron Rodgers back? We know they want him back. It's all in Aaron Rodgers' word.
Yeah, of course.
Are they going to give the opportunity to a Will Howard? Are they going to bring in a free agent quarterback that is worth bringing in and competing for, say, Will Howard? Are they going to draft a quarterback early, which we hope they don't? We are fearfully anticipating it, but we hope that's not the case.
I am bracing for it. I am.
And who specifically on the roster is he going to bring in and get rid of? Because there's a lot of bad contracts on the team right now that Omar Khan himself has signed, sealed, and delivered to these players. That includes Patrick Queen. That includes DK Metcalf. That includes, yes, even TJ Watt.
Yep.
There is some bad contracts out there that Omar Khan has given out for the past number of years that, honestly, it's not really hurting this team in a financial standpoint, because they're projected $45 million, with more coming with the cap space increasing and maybe some cuts and moves to be made that will increase the cap space for the Steelers, which would be a good thing. But it's the matter of they gave these guys these contracts, and they're not playing up to par to what they are being paid. TJ Watt got extended right before the season last year at 30 years old, soon to be 31.
He's 32, actually.
He's 30.
Or he's going to be 32.
So he's 31 now.
Yeah.
And he's getting paid $41 million a year.
Yes. Yes, that's right.
Tough. Tough. DK Metcalf, he's getting paid $33 million a year. Oof. And he didn't even have 1,000 yards was last year.
Nope.
Now, I know DK Metcalf didn't have the greatest scheme. He also didn't have a receiver to bounce off of, and those are the things that we hope will improve for the season in 2026 and further on. But being paid $33 million a year and trading a second rounder for DK, he didn't live up to that contract, and he was really a detriment at the end because he was stupid enough to interact with a dumb Lions fan, a stalker of some sorts, whatever, who's now suing him for $100 million. That situation just gets dumber and dumber as it develops.
Yeah.
But he got suspended, and in the playoffs, he didn't deliver at all.
No, as a matter of fact, he dropped an easy first down.
Yeah.
Like, right in his hands. Like, A-Rod actually threw an accurate ball in that game, and DK dropped it.
Very A.J. Brown-like. Must be an Ole Miss thing.
Yeah,
it might be.
I don't know, man.
And then Patrick Queen. Yeah, this guy hasn't lived up to his contract. I'll give him credit for staying healthy and playing every single snap since he's came in here.
Which is funny because I remember when we first signed him, I actually praised the signing because what he brings to the table was availability at the inside linebacker position, because the other guys that we brought in to try to fix the position, unfortunately, they couldn't stay healthy.
No.
Like, it was just constant, a rotating door of inside linebackers. Like, who remembers, what was it, 2023, I think? Wasn't it? If I remember correctly, they unretired Miles Jack and Blake Martinez. That's how bad
and
Bear Ardepp was at inside linebacker.
And they brought in Michael Walker. Who remembers him?
Oh, my God. I forgot all about him.
Yeah.
They just go to show how bad it was. So when we signed Patrick Queen, I thought the biggest thing that he's going to bring to the table is availability. And he has done that. I can't take that away from Patrick Queen.
But has the play been there? Not so much.
Not consistently. I mean, he's whiffing on tackles. He's not the best in coverage.
He's missing angles. He's not really forcing a lot of turnovers. I get he's the green dot, and I'll say this about the entire defense. The defensive scheme wasn't good. It really limited everybody. It did. So perhaps with Patrick Graham at defensive coordinator with nobody in his ear to tell him what to do and what not to do, like Tomlin did with Terrell Austin, maybe, just maybe, the defense will see an improvement, and that could be the benefit of Patrick Queen. But are they going to keep Patrick Queen? Because they could cut him before June 1st and save $13 million. Now, the only thing with that is you're without the green dot. You're without another linebacker, a position that's already thin. Peyton Wilson didn't see a lot of playing time last year because they opted to play Malik Harrison over him.
Yeah, they demoted Wilson to have him primarily play special teams.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
Neither do I.
I don't understand.
Like, the guy's athletic as all hell, all the potential in the world to hold him down on special teams.
Yeah, it's just very an underwhelming season for Peyton Wilson. It's not his fault because Peyton Wilson had himself a couple good games, as a matter of fact, especially versus the Colts.
Yeah.
It's just he didn't get enough playing time, and I think that's all coaching. I think Peyton Wilson with Patrick Graham could be a guy that could actually fully break out. I was expecting him to break out in 2025, and for one reason or another, he got Malik Harrison playing more than Wilson. So
yeah,
perhaps with Patrick Graham, he can actually fully break out. But that's a decision that Omar Khan's got to make, is some of these contracts. What's he going to do? And even Jalen Ramsey, he acquired Jalen Ramsey, and his contract is pretty tough. And he's in his lower 30s.
32 years old.
He's 32?
Or 31.
He's 31.
He's up 32. In his 30s for sure.
So, yeah, he'll be 32 shortly. That's a big contract for somebody that had to switch positions and is getting up there with age. Now, can they keep him? Yeah, because who do you have at free safety?
Literally, as of right now, The backup is Sebastian Castro.
Because
we have Kyle Duggar as a pending free agent. We have Jabril Peppers as a free agent. Same with Miles Killebrew, but he's a special teams guy.
Yeah.
But that's literally our depth right there.
It's Sebastian Elliott, Castro.
Yeah. It's Elliott, it's Ramsey, and it's Castro.
Right.
Yeah. That's just where we are right now.
Now, I would bring back Ramsey if he stays at safety. If you want to put him down in the slot in certain blitz packages or sub packages, by all means, that's fine with me. But don't put him outside. I wouldn't put him outside. I don't think he's good enough to play that no more. He's a much better safety now. He brings that aggression, that communication, and that dominance at that position. Not saying he's the greatest safety in the league. It's just more of that demeanor and that you're not going to bully us in the secondary kind of mentality is what Ramsey brings to the position. So I would restructure his contract 100%, but I don't mind keeping Ramsey. But is Omar Khan going to do that? Or is he going to open another hole at the safety position? These are some of the decisions he's going to have to make. Now, again, those contracts aren't very detrimental to the Steelers and to the point they are scratching the bottom of the barrel for cap space like they had to do so many years under Kevin Colbert. And Omar Khan had to get them out of that position, which got him the GM spot.
Mm-hmm.
This year, they're not exactly scratching the bottom of the barrel, but also there are markets out there that are increasing year in and year out. So that cap space is going to go quick. So to create more cap space, he's going to have to do some restructures and he's going to have to make some decisions on these bad contracts. I anticipate them to keep Ramsey. I anticipate them to keep Watt. I anticipate them to keep Queen. I anticipate them to keep DK. All have rough contracts with the team. The question is, how is he going to fix those contracts? Because there's no doubt in my mind they're all going to remain with the Steelers. It's just a matter of, are they going to give back? Are they going to be contracts that he's going to restructure to open up some cash? Because that's the thing. Like, if you're going to be here, you can't be playing at your pay rate. You got to give back a little bit. You got to restructure your contract, and you got to help the Steelers out in this offseason. You know what I mean? Because he's going to be extending a lot of the players that he brought in via the draft, and I'm hoping he can make at least one or two splashes in free agency, perhaps at the corner position, maybe at guard with Sayamalu being an impending free agent. Maybe a quarterback. I don't know. The quarterback market free agency is not good. It is not good. There is not a Sam Darnold-like player in free agency at the quarterback position that you could bring in and say, you know what, come on in. We'll see what you can do. There's not a Sam Darnold guy. So maybe he makes a splash at quarterback, but the options aren't great out there. So does that splash go to corner? Maybe receiver. God knows we need a receiver.
Yeah, and that's one of the things in positions that Omar Khan has kind of really fumbled since being the general manager was that number two wide receiver position.
Yeah, after the trade deadline last season when we didn't even trade for anybody.
No.
I said and I admitted that Omar Khan has completely butchered the wide receiver position because he drafted Pickens. No, Colbert drafted Pickens. Omar Khan took over right after. That was that awful 2022 draft class.
Yeah, let's not dive through that, please.
But he had Pickens, which he was unbelievably limited, and I don't know why, and it pains me to see how a talent like Pickens wasn't used to the best of his ability under Tomlin, under Austin, or under Arthur Smith, you know, under this coaching staff. You got a guy like Pickens who had a complete breakout year with Dallas, and huge credit to Dak as a quarterback, but everybody knew that when he left Pittsburgh, because I don't think he was ever going to resign, when Pickens left Pittsburgh, he was going to break out because he was so limited at the quarterback position as an offensive scheme. They weren't having him go vertical. They weren't having him go up the middle of the field. They weren't using Pickens' size and his deep ball ability as often as they should. No. And that's why Pickens broke out.
I mean, like, so, Pickens was frustrated and he had every right to do so. I mean, can you blame the guy? Remember the route sheets that we saw after the games? Where it was just like constantly on the sideline, not targeting middle of the field because the Steelers were so scared of risking a turnover and whatnot. Like, of course Pickens was frustrated. And you sent him to a team like Dallas that is pass heavy with Bronson Schottenheimer.
Schottenheimer, yeah.
And Dak Prescott, who's a gunslinger. Like, it was just a perfect fit for Pickens. And seeing what he did, I'm not surprised by it at all. And of course they will franchise tag George Pickens. No shock to me.
How could they not? No, I don't think anyone was shocked to see Pickens have the season he had. It's just a matter of, you have Pickens, and not only did the scheme limit him, but, yeah, they wanted to get rid of him for attitude issues. Whatever. I get it, but it's also, bro, you have this unbelievable top 10 receiver talent in the league, and you don't use him the way you should. Of course he's going to be frustrated. So you trade Pickens, which at the time I was like, okay, like, I don't understand why you do it after the draft, because you didn't draft a receiver whatsoever with the idea of potentially still trading Pickens. So you didn't draft someone to replace him, and you trade him after the draft.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, we just traded for DK Metcalf. DK and Pickens would have been a dream duo under the right quarterback, whether that was Rodgers or not last year, but especially under the right coaching staff and the right offensive mind calling the plays, right? It would have been a dream wide receiver duo because at least someone like DK would have bounced off the explosiveness and the ability of Pickens. DK couldn't do that at all last year. He had no one to bounce off of, and frankly, DK is not a number one receiver. He's getting paid number one money, but he's not a number one receiver. So the idea of having DK and Pickens together was awesome. It's like, oh my God, we finally fixed our wide receiver troubles. Except Omar Khan traded him after the draft and didn't draft nobody before then to replace him. And we're like, who's our receiver two now? Like, you traded for DK just to trade away Pickens.
Yep, for a third-round pick from Dallas.
And then I gave them the benefit of the doubt. I'm like, okay, there's got to be a greater plan here, right? There's got to be something that Omar Khan has up his sleeve to trade Pickens and get a third-rounder this upcoming draft, the 2026 draft. He's got to trade for a receiver. He has to. There's no way you trade Pickens and don't replace him, except that's exactly what they did. They traded Pickens, and they never replaced him.
Nope. No, they tried to experiment with 33-year-old Robert Woods. They brought in MVS and Adam Thielen mid-season to kind of fill the gap.
And they tried to give the opportunity to Calvin Austin, who I like Austin, but he's not a two. Never was.
No.
They tried. I don't know if they tried to give the opportunity to Roman Wilson, because most of the time he didn't even play. Most of the time, most of his stats came in garbage time when we were getting blown out.
At this point.
And he was an inactive. He was a healthy scratch for MVS and Adam Thielen at the end of the season. So at that point, Roman Wilson and his selection in the 2024 draft class is like, why do we even select this guy?
At this point, why are we not
giving him the opportunity?
Will he even make the final roster this upcoming season?
I honestly think he could be a trade candidate by the final cuts.
You know, I swear to God. I wouldn't be surprised, dude. I wouldn't. I mean, like, honestly, it's going to be make or break for Wilson, whether it's his fault or not. Maybe it's on both parties. I have no idea. It's just a blunder right there.
Yeah.
But the whole blunder is the wide receiver two position, because Omar Khan has not really been able to fulfill that position.
No,
because
he tried with Ayuk, which was a complete dodge bullet.
Dodged a bullet. Like, thank God. Like, whatever they were going to trade and pay Ayuk, they dodged a bullet on that one.
Yeah, thank God. Thank God Ayuk went into John Lynch's office that day and said, okay, I'm going to stay a San Francisco 49er.
He dragged it out just to take the money, only for him to
do nothing.
He suffered that injury. I think it was a torn ACL. And then all he had to do was show up for the team, and he said, no, I'm not going to do that.
But
he literally ignored guaranteed money.
Yeah. But the Steelers dodged the bullet with that one. As much as we wanted Ayuk, looking at it in retrospect, they dodged the bullet. Then, again, they traded for DK. They still had Pickens on the roster. Hell yeah, our wide receiver troubles are fixed, at least for this year, with Pickens being a free agent and the unlikeliness of him bringing him back. Maybe that's a reason why that enticed Omar Khan to trade him. Why they did it after the draft, I don't know.
Yeah.
I know that the Cowboys offered a fourth before the draft, before they finally said, okay, we'll give you a third now, 2 weeks after the draft. Omar Khan thought it was a good enough offer to take it, but they still didn't replace the position. And we're like, okay, we'll wait till the trade deadline. We'll give them one more chance to fix their receiver position and replace Pickens. They didn't. They tried trading for Jacoby Myers. They tried trading for Rashid Shaheed, except both did not want to go to the Steelers.
No.
They opted to go to other and better teams because Myers went to the Jags, got a big contract, and
Shaheed's a Super Bowl champion.
Yeah. They made the ultimate better decision.
And they did not want
to come here.
Good for them. Good for them. And they were smart for doing that because, I mean, we saw how the offense was for the remainder of the season.
Yeah.
So they were smart. I mean, they knew what was going to happen.
But the wide receiver position the last number of years has been completely butchered. Completely butchered. I mean, he traded Deontay Johnson in 2023. He had Pickens. And that's where our receiver troubles really started.
Yep.
Because Deontay Johnson wasn't that great of a receiver. He was overhyped, in my opinion. Where's he at now? Exactly. But at that time, you had Pickens only, and you didn't have any other option at receiver. You tried with Roman Wilson. He got hurt in preseason due to a jet sweep. That took him out all the 2024 season, his entire rookie season. And then they trade for Mike Williams at the deadline. And then everything last offseason with Pickens being traded, Metcalf coming to the Steelers, they didn't trade for nobody at the deadline. And now we're here once again with DK Metcalf with an overpaid contract, and the Steelers need to fix the wide receiver position. There are some decent names out there, Frenchie, that they could absolutely make a splash on. Alec Pierce is number one. You want a deep threat? You want to open the passing game? You want a big threat at receiver?
A field stretcher at that.
Alec Pierce could be your guy. Will the Colts keep him? Will he take a bigger contract elsewhere? Because you know he's going to get somewhere around $20 million, and I'm not even joking. He's probably going to get $20 million, and is he worth $20 million to the Steelers? Do they want to add more money to that position? Could they look at a Romeo Doubs, who has been tied to the Steelers for – feels like the last year and a half, 2 years.
Yep.
In regards to trade options. But, you know, LaFleur has made it known he's not going nowhere. And now he's a free agent. He might leave Green Bay finally. COs could bring him in, especially if Rodgers comes back.
Yeah, they have that connection.
There's other names of free agency. There's the draft, which is stacked with receiver. And in my opinion, they should double dip at receiver in the first 2 days.
Yeah.
They should 100% not even look elsewhere. Take a wide receiver in the first round, and then with their remaining four picks of day two, they should 100% take another receiver.
Double dip?
Second round or third round.
I would agree.
I think they should add three new receivers between free agency and the draft. They have to. The names at wide receiver have not been good enough. Omar Khan has done an awful job at bringing in the names that we have had to see at receiver, and they've done nothing. I get they've been aging guys that haven't done anything, but that's Omar Khan's fault for bringing them in. Mike Williams, Van Jefferson, Robert Woods, who didn't even make the roster. MVS, Adam Thielen. Like, what are we doing? We need, Omar Khan needs to go out of his way and fix the wide receiver position once and for all. Please, I beg of you.
He needs to. It's critical. It's crucial. Despite whoever the quarterback may be, like, we need another weapon there.
See, I think this offseason for Omar Khan, it should be all about surrounding the offense and whoever the quarterback's going to be, whether that's this season or for the future, with weapons. That is what this offseason should be about. Let's surround the offense with weapons. Omar Khan said it last year at the Combine. We need playmakers on the offense. And we don't really have a lot of those. We have Jaylen Warren, who's great. We have Kenneth Gainwell, who's a free agent, and he needs to bring him back for sure.
Yeah, big time.
DK Metcalf can make plays, but he's not consistent enough to do it as a one. As a two, I think he could benefit from somebody that is going to take a lot of attention. Somebody that's a route runner. Somebody that's a field stretcher.
Yeah.
We need that. DK is going to benefit off that. That's why he benefited off a guy like Lockett, who was a yak guy. He had that route running ability. He benefited off that in Seattle. We need to add that to that position to help out DK and maybe make his contract just a little bit worth it. We need to fix the wide receiver position. We need to add more weapons. That should be the goal for Omar Khan, is whoever the quarterback's going to be in 2026, whether that's Will Howard or that's Aaron Rodgers or some other name, or they draft a quarterback in 2027, ideally surround that quarterback with weapons. That's what he needs to do.
Kind of like what the Bears did with Caleb Williams in his rookie year.
Yeah.
And, you know, Caleb Williams, you know, they still have quite the targets that they got. Even when Ben Johnson took over, he added some rookies there. And Caleb Williams got hella targets over there in Chicago. Had a great year
yep. In
the second year. That's kind of the recipe or the blueprint that the Steelers kind of need to adapt and take in order to try to aid in the offense being more successful, despite who the quarterback may be. The fact of the matter is, they need playmakers, but they need... They can't just, like, make a trade and, like, oh, that's it, like they did with DK or what they thought they were getting with Jonu, only for him to be a terrible addition to the tight end room or just the offense overall.
Yeah.
Like, they really have to revamp the offense from a receiving aspect. You have DK, you're paying him all this money, but he needs somebody else to feed off of.
Agreed.
Every good receiver needs another receiver to feed off, to aid off, right? Like, that's what they need.
Yeah.
It's that other asset to the offense. That you got to have.
Yeah, and you know, this free agency is going to be very important for Omar Khan because, let's be honest, man, his free agencies the last couple years haven't been great. His draft classes, on the other hand.
They're promising.
Like, we'll go through everything, but the free agency list, outside of maybe one, two, or three players, they've mostly been busts.
And this would be dating back from 2023, correct?
Yes, because 2023 was the first full offseason he had as GM. Like, free agency, the draft, everything. In the 2023 offseason, the Steelers signed guys like Keon Neal, who was a co-starter with DeMonte Casey all year. I think Neal suffered an injury. He was on IR, and that was the end of his career.
Yeah.
They signed Isaac Seumalo at left guard, who's now going to be an impending free agent, will probably walk. Alandon Roberts at linebacker. Cole Holcomb at linebacker. I think they re-signed Larry Ogunjobi that offseason as well. He didn't last too much longer here. They signed Nate Herbig. Patrick Peterson in the 2023 offseason. Alandon Roberts, I'll be real with you, honestly might be the best name out of there. I'll give credit to Seumalo because he had a good season this year. But Alandon Roberts
stud
is a stud. And if there's one guy Patrick Graham wants to pry from that Raiders defense, bring back Roberts.
Oh, yeah, because Roberts only signed a one-year deal with the Raiders, and, like, he's still showcased, like, even at his age. I think he's going to be, like, 32 or something. The guy can still ball out.
He is
the guy is a thumper. The guy, during his time in Pittsburgh, like, he earned a lot of respect from Steelers Nation, and he really habited the style of a Steelers linebacker, something that we don't really see very often nowadays. Like, he adapted that and just an overall great run defender.
He was our new Vince Williams.
Yes.
Like, in terms of the run-stopping ability and tackles for loss or even and that dominant factor. Yeah. He was that new Vince Williams in the middle of that defense, and we let him walk, and they signed Malik Harrison only because, oh, he can play special teams. Except you played Peyton Wilson on special teams and played Harrison along the starting defense. Why are we in the upside down?
Yeah, I think that's just coaching malpractice right there. But so I don't understand why Omar Khan never even thought about trying to bring Roberts back, considering that he was a target for him during the 2023 offseason.
Yeah,
he outplayed his contract.
Yeah, he did.
So I still don't understand that decision.
Matter of fact, you can cut Malik Harrison and bring back Roberts for that same deal.
Boom, let's do it.
I think you
let's
save $5 million if you cut Malik Harrison.
Do it right now.
Give that to Roberts with $3 million guaranteed.
Free agency's in a month. You could do it. Boom.
Cole Holcomb was also the other linebacker that was signed that year because the linebacker position wasn't very good. First of all, it hasn't been good since Ryan Shazier went down. Let's be honest, because it's been Reynolds. It's been, you know. Just a bunch of guys coming in and out.
If I could go down the list, I would, but we'd be here all night.
Yeah. Guys like John Bostic and Miles Jack.
Every Williamson.
Devin Bush. Every Williamson. Joe Schobert. Remember him?
Oh, God. Yeah, good old number 93, right? Got an interception in that Titans game. We were there for that, by the way.
Remembers L.J. Fort.
Yeah. Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah, guys like that. But in 2023, he signed those two linebackers, and they were upgrades for sure. Unfortunately, Roberts walked after his 2 years in Pittsburgh, and Cole Holcomb suffered an injury in 2023 that took him out all 2024. He came back in 2025, but his role wasn't the same.
No. And he will be a pending free agent. And I don't know if we bring him back.
I don't know either.
I just don't get that vibe. I don't.
I don't either.
I like Cole Holcomb, but I just don't know if the Steelers will bring him back.
But yeah, that 2023 offseason, not so great. We go into 2024. It's a little better, and I only say this because the biggest signing that he has made all in the free agency period, ever since he's been GM, has been Deshaun Elliott. Deshaun Elliott has been a great player for the Steelers. When he is healthy, when he's on the field, he is a dominant football player. He can play in the box. He can play deep. He's good in coverage. He can blanket the tight ends.
Consistent tackler, great run defender.
He breaks up passes. Like, he is a hell of a safety.
Yep.
He's always been mad underrated. Going back to his Ravens days, he went to the Dolphins, went to the Lions, finally came to the Steelers, and he got a big contract last offseason, well-deserved. Now, he got hurt in 2025, unfortunately, but Elliott is still a great football player. And that's probably been his best free agent signing. And that was in 2024. The other 2024 signings he had was signing Russell Wilson.
Of course.
For the vet minimum. He signed Patrick Queen for a three-year, $41 million contract, and he's coming into his last year of that contract.
Ain't that contract still, like, the highest amount that Steelers have paid for a free agent in Steelers history?
All time, yes.
Oh, my God.
Highest paid free agent all time was Patrick Queen.
Wow.
Justin Fields, he traded for him.
After trading away Kenny Pickett.
He traded Deontay Johnson for Dante Jackson, another rental at corner. It was Patrick Pearson in 2023 and then Dante Jackson in 2024.
Oh, boy.
It doesn't stop there, folks.
That's another subject.
Signed Van Jefferson, who was mostly a wide receiver two that year. Cordell Patterson, who was a kick returner, not good, and also saw a lot more playing time than Warren for some reason in that 2024
season. Arthur Smith, bro. The Arthur Smith connection.
But yeah, that was 2024. Which, on paper, looked a lot better than 2023 because we're like, hey, we get two upgrades at quarterback. I mean, how can you not upgrade from a guy like Kenny and Mitch and even Mason? You got Patrick Queen. Finally, our linebacking problems are solved, at least, you know, in terms of availability, except Patrick Queen hasn't lived up to the contract. But, Deshaun Elliott has been really the biggest hiring in free agency, one of the best free agent hires I'd say in Steelers history, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Big time.
I'm hoping he can stay here for an extended period of time because he's been that good. 2025.
Just last year.
He brought in Juan Thornhill, who didn't last too many weeks with the Steelers.
No, not at all.
He was our starting free safety. Yeah, he was initially our starting free safety because we traded Minka to the Dolphins, and for Jonu and Ramsey, Ramsey was starting opposite JBJ to start the season at corner, and Thornhill was our starting safety initially, free safety, opposite Elliott. He didn't last too many weeks. He signed Brandon Echols. Brandon Echols is one of those guys where it reminds me a lot of James Pierre. He's like a smaller James Pierre. He has his highlights. He looks good in certain games. Then there's games like in the playoffs versus the Texans where he got cooked by Christian Kirk.
Yeah. Yeah, Echols looked awful in that
game. He's got incredible flexibility. He can play inside, outside, special teams. He made plays for us, but towards the end of the season, not so much.
No.
I'm sure they'll keep him around, though. They brought back Mason Rudolph. They signed Darius Slay, who didn't last half the season.
Again, another rental at corner.
They signed
no play Slay for the Steelers.
They signed Malik Harrison.
Yeah.
And Kenneth Gainwell, who outside of Elliott, I would say is the second best hire or signing that Khan has brought in via free agency since becoming GM.
Yep, Gainwell's coming off a team MVP performance. I mean, he was a hell of an asset for the team and quite the backup for Warren. I mean, Warren and Gainwell were a great duo.
And they are, and they need to be retained.
They need to stay. They need to stay together.
What did we just mention like 10 minutes ago? Surround the offense, surround the quarterback, whoever that may be, with weapons. Gainwell is absolutely a weapon.
Yes.
He's a playmaker for sure. The offseason or the free agency period, specifically, from Omar Khan hasn't been great. There's been one, two, maybe three hits. That's Elliott, that's Gainwell, and depending on your opinion on Queen, that's pretty much it. Or a Landon Roberts.
I'd throw Roberts in there, but he's not with the team anymore. But when he was here, he was a hell of a player, hell of an asset.
But the free agency period hasn't really been where he struck. Like some of them are upgrades at the time, yes. But in terms of like when we look back at it in retrospect and longevity, a lot of them were gone.
Yeah.
Most of them were ultimately rentals. And I think the point of free agency is if you're going to make a splash at an important position, you want to fulfill that position and bring in somebody that's going to hold down that position for several years. That's what I wanted them to do. That's what I wanted them to do specifically at the cornerback position last offseason, because there were a plethora of names at that cornerback position. A lot of young dudes, as a matter of fact. And they opted to go with the oldest guy on the market.
Yep.
Who wasn't here half the season.
No. And we the writing was on the wall. I mean, if you saw how Patrick Peterson was as a sealer, I mean, you're basically getting a version two of that with Darius Slay.
Yeah.
We knew it was coming, and go figure it happened.
So I honestly feel like there's a pattern here. He's not really fulfilling a lot of the necessary needs, which for the past several years, primarily, it's been wide receiver and cornerback. And yeah, quarterback too, but we got to be patient with that position. But corner and wide receiver, he needs to fix. Like, he needs to make some significant splashes. He needs to bring in some new faces. Now, there are some impending free agents at those positions that he could bring back, and I would like a guy like Pierre or an Asante Samuel Jr. to come back. But are they fixes? Not without competition. You gotta bring in other names at those positions, whether that's via free agency or via the draft. You know what I mean? And I think we got to bring more speed to those positions as well. Some speed and explosiveness and some playmaking ability for sure. You know what I mean?
Yeah, just keep the youth there, yeah.
But the draft is where he's been striking, because a lot of his draft classes, or the last three draft classes, that's where he has really brought in a lot of homegrown guys. That's where he's built where it kind of matters, which is the trenches. Our offensive line, four guys on that line are on rookie deals, right? You got the defensive line. You got a lot of young guys on that area too. Harmon, Benton, YA Black, right? Like, that's a lot of young talent in the trenches, which is good. We have a bona fide lockdown number one corner in JPJ. We have a dominant tight end at Darnell Washington that could start on any other team in the league.
We got two good edge rushers as depth. Nick Herbig, who ideally for any other team is a starter all day, every day.
For sure.
But like, he's a great depth piece. I mean, whenever Watt or Highsmith is down with injury and whatnot, we know what Herbig can do. All the faith in the world in Herbig and Sawyer, I felt like for the limited amount of time he had to play, I felt he had a very solid rookie season too.
And I'm still very high on a guy like Peyton Wilson. I want to see what he can do with a new scheme and new coaching. Like, give him the opportunity. This guy has world-class potential. Like top potential, in my opinion. As long as he can get everything down and he doesn't over pursuit in the rushing game, and he can force the turnovers. I think he can be a legitimate playmaker at the linebacker position. The green dot, potentially, he doesn't have a lot of experience there, but maybe they want to entertain that. But I think as a future playmaker for this defense and somebody that they can build around, that speedster, that playmaker at that position, he fits the modern mold at the inside linebacker position. So give him the opportunity. But that's what I mean with the draft, is that's where he struck. Now, whether that is Khan, whether that is Andy Waddle's influence, it's most likely both. You got to give credit to both.
Yeah.
Because you can't say that Omar Khan has had a rough free agency period outside of 2, 3, 4 names and then say, oh, well, in the draft, it was mostly Andy Waddle. You got to give credit to Khan in that factor. He's had his misses, a lot of them, but he's also had a lot of really good hits in the draft. And that's where a lot of his homegrown talent is really starting to flourish. And hopefully with a new coaching staff, that we can see a lot of these guys actually get newfound opportunities. They could really live up to the potential and the pedigree that they were drafted. So I think that's where this team can be built up. And, you know, their mission is to win a Super Bowl, which, of course, no shit.
Yeah.
I agree 100%. Go win a Super Bowl. I think they need to be a little bit patient with it, but I get it. You're bringing in an incredibly young team. You have an incredibly young team. There's a couple aging guys on the roster, but for the most part, you have a very young team. And via the draft, that's where he has hit. And a lot of those guys are going to be getting extensions very soon, well-deserved.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the course of the three past draft classes, 2023, 2025, you're looking at 10 current starters on the team right now, with potentially more to come from those draft classes and, of course, 2026 and so on and so forth.
And that's where this team, you know, like we mentioned, they need to surround the team or the quarterback or whatever with playmakers and weapons. Omar Khan has done that in the draft, and that's where he needs to continue. But some of those names they could bring back, because those are the core pieces. Those are your ideal future stones, those cornerstones for your team, right? A lot of those positions, especially in the trenches. So I think that's where we're looking at this offseason, is there's two things I'm really expecting. One, he's going to resign a lot of the homegrown guys that he has selected, which is mostly going to start first with the 2023 draft class. His decision on Broderick Jones is going to be an interesting one.
Yep.
JPJ, extend him. Darnell, extend him. Nick Herbig, extend him. You know what I mean? And then in free agency, in the draft, in the offseason overall, you have to make some significant moves that are going to fill certain positions.
Yeah.
Like receiver, like corner. Left guard is a position that's up for grabs. We don't know if they're going to keep saying Malo or not. Quarterback, obviously, is going to be one of the biggest, right? But it's all about surrounding that main position, the quarterback position, with a good team and good talent and a good supporting cast. And that's what he has to do. That's what this 2026 offseason is all about. That's what I wanted them to do last year.
Yeah, and considering, now don't quote me on this, but I think they had well over $60 million in cap space, something like that. They were definitely high up there. They definitely had a lot of money last year.
More than what we're used to.
In cap space, exactly. It was a rarity for the Steelers to have that amount of cap space. Omar Khan had that opportunity. But he refrained. He signed a lot of veteran guys.
It was very underwhelming, the offseason last year. Or the free agency period.
Considering, I figured, you know, like, you have all this money, you know, like, splurge yourself a little bit and sign some of these big free agents, specifically at the cornerback position, like we stated. Like, Omar Khan seriously could have done it, but he refrained because he wanted to get a lot of comp picks, because a lot of our free agents from the previous year walked away. They went to other teams, and he wanted to get a lot of comp picks, hence why we have 12 picks.
Yeah, with the idea of potentially trading up for a quarterback in this upcoming draft class. That was the theory. Because at the time, the 2026 quarterback class was looking pretty good.
Yes.
Except it completely flopped.
No, it's arguably worse than last year.
It's probably worse than 2022.
It might be. It might be up
well,
there.
Well, I can't. Well, no, because Mendoza caps everybody in 2022. Brock Purdy to be determined.
Right.
You know, Brock Purdy, far and away the best quarterback in that class.
It could be up there.
Mendoza, can he be better than Brock Purdy? We'll see. But overall, I mean, in terms of first round quarterback grade talent, Mendoza has it over everybody in that class.
Yeah, big time.
So by that alone, this class might be better than 2022, but it's incredibly close in comparison.
Yeah.
Quite frightening.
But I mean, that was the idea. That was the goal, right? That was the speculation.
But
considering it's in Pittsburgh, but now it seems like that plan is Not going to happen. It kind of backfired. See, now they have all these picks.
In my opinion, I get the theory, but they played it real safe. Of course they did. Went with the older vets. They went with the Reynolds because that's worked in the past so many times, which it hasn't.
Which really fits with the Steelers because safe is literally in their vocabulary.
But that, they can't do that again.
No.
Like, what we wanted them to do last offseason was you have the cap space, you got these positions you got to fix, you got a hole at quarterback. What they should have done last year was take a developmental year at that position and go make some splashes. That way, whenever you draft a quarterback or wherever you trade or whatever at a quarterback, you have that group or you have that quarterback with the right group behind them. Now, they have a second chance to do that this year. I think they should do the exact same thing that we wanted them to do last year, except now the 2027 draft class or quarterback class is looking pretty good as of now. So I would hope Omar Khan goes into this offseason the way we wanted him to go into last year's offseason, which is take a developmental year at the quarterback position, sign somebody for competition, right? But make some moves and bring in some names and upgrade these positions that you have really went safe with, that you went soft with, that you really haven't fixed, and frankly have butchered with all these Reynolds and these older guys that don't do anything in the league anymore. Go make some moves. You know what I mean? Go make some splashes. I don't expect too many, but make one or two splashes. Bring back and re-sign some of the players in the free agency market. Re-sign and extend the players that you have selected under your tandem, under your run as GM. And then that way in 2027, that quarterback you select has the team ready to go, and then you can make a run.
Right.
Because look at the recipe for many teams in the league, for I feel like it's going on almost a decade now. How many quarterbacks have pushed their team to a Super Bowl appearance, a Super Bowl run in their second year? It's been very frequent the last number of years, as a matter of fact. Patrick Mahomes, I think Jalen Hurts did it. I think Brock Purdy did it.
Joe Burrow, I believe.
Joe Burrow, Drake May most recently. Else, Sam Darnold did it in his first year with the Seahawks. So, but there's no Sam Darnold-like quarterback in this free agency. So
no,
that's why I say wait until 2027, fulfill your team now, and then make a run with a young quarterback that you believe will be the future instead of making a drastic move at that position that's only going to set you back, like you did with Kenny Pickett, like Colbert did with Kenny Pickett.
Yeah.
So that's where we're at, is essentially just fulfill the needs, and very, very similar to what we said in the quarterback video, just take a developmental year and fulfill everything else around it, right? That's how I see it. That's what we wanted to do last offseason. They didn't. And it didn't really pay off well for the Steelers in the 2025 season. And now 2026, they're literally in the same position. They have a hole at receiver. They have a hole at quarterback. They have a hole at corner. Because they keep signing all these Reynolds.
Yep.
And they need to fulfill some of these positions. And this is a good offseason to do it because they actually have draft picks to do it. They have cap space to do it. They got some names out there to do it. Now, this free agency group might not be as stacked as previous years, but there's names out there you can bring in that'll actually make some difference. That'll be much better upgrades. And that could actually be here when that new quarterback arises, where that is this year, where that's next year, right? That's how I see it. I'll also mention 12 picks, projectedly, in the 2026 draft class.
Mm-hmm.
What's he going to do with those? That is some weaponry.
Yeah, because again, like the anticipation was for him to use some of those picks, and I'm sure next year's capital to trade up for a quarterback. What if he still does that, but not for a quarterback? At least I hope not for a quarterback. Maybe he does it for a wide receiver, considering the top talent early in the draft are wide receivers.
Yeah, Steelers pick what, 21st?
21st.
So some of the best quarterbacks, Tate, Lemon, Tyson, right? Guys like that. I don't know if they're going to be there at 21.
No, they may all go within the top 15. And you know some other teams are probably going to want to trade up to get those guys too.
Yeah. I mean, I know you got other receivers. You got what's his name?
Denzel Boston?
Yeah, you got Denzel Boston. You got Casey Conception out of Texas A&M, right? You got guys there that you could select. You know, there's Omar Cooper from Indiana, right?
Right.
He's another explosive weapon. Receiver stacked. But if you want to fulfill that position and help out DK and help out your offense and your future quarterback, you could use those picks to still trade up and make a splash move at the receiver position and finally fulfill that role with a good player. Or, I also mentioned this, Could he use a lot of those picks as ammo to trade back or trade those picks this year to get as much ammo for 2027? Because you already know, they have five picks in the first 2 days, four of them day two. You know there's going to be certain talent or there's going to be certain teams that want a talent that's still on the board, and the Steelers have so many picks that they're going to be getting calls left and right on day two. And there's going to be teams that are going to be offering some significant capital for 2027 to trade up.
Yeah, they just might.
Or do they trade back in the first round and still get some capital for 2027? Because if they're going to draft a quarterback 2027, ideally, projectively, let's say, hypothetically, let's say they do that, you're going to need some capital to trade up.
No, because if we're talking about that the Steelers are going to run them back and it's going to be the same outcome, you know, they're going to go 10-7, 9 at a best, wild card performance, get blown out. They're looking at possibly where they are at right now in the NFL draft, 20th overall, 21st overall. So, yeah, if that were to happen again, which I'm anticipating, yeah, Steelers are going to need to trade up and try to get a top-level quarterback in 2027. So it's not out the realm of possibility.
Yeah.
It's a hell of a way to consider. It's a hell of a thing to consider if you're Omar Khan.
Yeah, so that's just an idea of mine where, yeah, he's got all these picks, and the reason they did it was, oh, maybe they're going to trade up for a quarterback, except that would be the worst move for them to make this year. But they can still trade up for a certain talent, ideally a receiver. Or could they use those picks as ammo to clog up as much as possible for 2027 with the idea of their philosophy or what we thought their theory was going to be for this year, except push that back one more year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Maybe that's something they do.
It's an ideal situation. It's something for them to consider. At least I hope so.
There's definitely options for Omar Khan to make. But I will say, not only this offseason, I'll say the next two off seasons are going to be the most important for Omar Khan, because at some point he's going to draft a quarterback. We don't want that to be this year. It's not the class to do it.
No.
2027 is looking infinitively better as of now. These next two off seasons are going to be very important, because if they go with what I want them to, which is building around the quarterback position, building the team up with your homegrown guys and extending them and bringing in some names and bringing in as many weapons for this year, and then go and get your quarterback 2027, that could be the recipe for Omar Khan that will actually push this team to their Super Bowl ambitions. That's the way to do it. I think that is the best case for the Steelers to go. Will they? I don't know. I hope. I don't anticipate that. Yeah. I think they're going to be safe. They're going to bring in Reynolds again. I don't want them to.
But that's just the common pattern for the Steelers.
Now,
it has always been the case.
Now, I'll give Omar the benefit of the doubt. That could have been Art Rooney having some say. That could have been Mike Tomlin having a lot of say in his, you know, his team and how his roster construction, how he did that, you know. But I can't also take away, you know, what Omar Khan has done, which hasn't been all that great in the free agency area. Draft, I'll give him credit, and Andy Waddle, too.
Yeah.
Free agency, he's got to step it up. These next two off seasons for Omar Khan are going to be the most important. What's he going to do? He's got a lot of decisions to make. We have a new coaching staff. We got Mike McCarthy, a lot of his buddies, and an upgraded and expanded coaching staff, which is good.
Good.
Now it's up to Omar Khan to make the right decisions and give this new coaching staff the right roster to run the next couple years. I know they're going to try to go all in for 2026. I think you need to take a step back and then be patient and then make a run, but we'll see if they do that. We'll see if they try to bring Rodgers back and then go for these aging Reynolds one more time. Don't do that. No, you got to go young. You got to go with some playmakers. You got to go with some explosion in every area. And I think you have the capital to do it.
Yeah.
You got some cap space to create with some rough contracts. So we'll see what Omar Khan does. But this is going to be a very important offseason for Omar Khan. This is going to be a must-see offseason for him. And he can't butcher it. He can't. Because what he has done the last couple years, especially in free agency, has led to where we are now. A lot of the same mistakes, a lot of the same positions we still have to fix. Fucking fix that.
And it's because the Steelers have just remained in the same lane. Like the lane that they're riding on, they've been riding that lane for the past decade. I'm not even kidding. That's just the way that it feels. That's just the way that the outcomes have been every single year.
Yeah.
It's about time that the Steelers just finally get off the lane and go toward the nearest exit and just go down a different path, go down a different lane.
Right.
Take a risk, go a different direction. It can't hurt. I mean, because, like, let's be real, you're not winning anything with running it back. You're not, despite Mike McCarthy now leading the charge with his staff. You're not going to win anything. I just don't have that feeling. And my gut, I don't.
No.
So just take the risk, take the experiment, just see what you can do. Try a different outlook, try a different path, and hope for a better outlook, a better outcome.
Yeah.
And just hope that there is light at the end of the tunnel with it.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's the path that they should take. Will they? Time's going to tell.
We can only hope, but I'm going to have my expectations very low because with this team, that's just how I am as a fan.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was going to say as well is I'm not getting my hopes up. I'm not getting my expectations too high, but I think he has the resources to do what he needs to do. Fix these positions and build around the quarterback room, and then we'll see where we go from there. We'll see if the coaching staff can resurrect some of these players that haven't really been dealt a good hand, like Peyton Wilson. Roman Wilson, we'll see if he can actually get a second chance. Caleb Johnson, he didn't do anything last year.
Yeah, but who knows, right?
You know, like a lot of these guys, we'll see what this coaching staff can do, but the roster construction is going to be very important. That's at the hands of Omar Khan. He needs to nail this offseason. It's very important, and I don't know when his decision-making is going to begin in terms of who he wants to bring back or who he wants to cut or what contracts he wants to restructure, but that's the first bit of moves we can anticipate before the new league year starts.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping we get some of that coming soon. There's not too many impending free agents from the Steelers I would bring back. There's not. I mean, Kenneth Gainwell is number one.
Yeah,
that's a no-brainer.
Big time.
James Pierre, Asante Samuel, I don't know if they're going to bring back both or either, but I would bring back both. I think we need depth. I think we need dependability there, and props to them for coming in and doing what they had to do, which was a lot better than what Darius Slay and anyone else offered.
Mm-hmm.
They still got Brandon Echols on the contract. We'll see if they keep them. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is still up there.
Yep. Calvin Austin's a pending free agent. You know, you got Kyle Duggar, Jabril Peppers as a pending free agent. So it's just like
Chuck Clark.
Yeah, just no. Absolutely not. Just based off the list, I'm looking at maybe three or four guys to at least bring back.
Yeah.
That's about it.
But who's he going to bring back?
Hopefully the right ones. Hopefully the correct ones.
We'll see, man. We'll see what Omar Khan does. But that's the video, guys. We're going to call it
video.
A discussion, a podcast pretty much. Let us know your guys' thoughts down in the comments below. How do you guys feel about Omar Khan? Do you have faith in Omar Khan? I'm noticing a lot of fans are losing good grace in Omar Khan. Like, he is falling out of the good grace of a lot of fans.
Oh, dude, remember when we used to call him King Khan?
King Khan, the con artist.
Yeah, the con man,
except,
right?
Except, listen, man, he's kind of...
He's
falling down my list a little bit.
Yeah, just, yeah.
I like the draft classes. Props to him, and especially props to Andy Wild, the assistant, because he's an incredible scout. But Omar Khan needs to step it up. He does. He's given out some bad contracts. His free agency hasn't been good. A lot of the guys he's brought in haven't really stuck around, and some of them have actually been the cause of the bad contracts. It's time to step it up, Khan. You got to do what you got to do. You don't have your buddy Tomlin with you no more, who's been in the organization a long time.
No, you got your new buddy. You got your old buddy, as a matter of fact, Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, you got your New Orleans Saints brother in back. So
sure,
there's that connection. You got to give him a good roster. So we'll see what he does. Let us know your guys' thoughts. And at the end of the day, here we go, Steelers. We'll see you in the next one.
And as always, like, comment, subscribe, and we'll see you later.
Peace!